We may do a series of messages on a particular theme or topic of importance. Sometimes we address an issue that we feel is important. And we believe that a combination of these different approaches constitute a healthy preaching, teaching ministry in a local church. And so this morning I'm speaking, and we're coming up quite soon to our summer preaching schedule, and we're going to be hearing from a number of others, which I always look forward to myself. But I've decided this week that I would speak with you this morning on the subject of appreciation. So just before we talk some more about appreciation, I want to just pray together. I see Yvonne has stepped out of the room, but Craig's here. If you didn't hear the news, so some of you wouldn't know that Yvonne's mom passed away just this week, and we're thankful that the family was able to talk with her and visit with her and pray with her before she passed, and she assured them that she was trusting in Christ, and she died very peacefully, and so the family's very thankful for that, and even though it's really hard, the funeral service is tomorrow in Five Islands. So I encourage you to pray for that family. And I know there are a number of you this morning who have needs in your lives. And well, we all have needs. But sometimes it gets a little acute. You may be dealing with a sense of loss. You may be dealing with a situation or a problem that you're really wondering how to handle it. Maybe something you're really afraid of or fearful of. Possibly something is just got your attention today that's you're struggling with. Whatever your situation is this morning, God wants us to look to Him to meet our needs. Maybe you're a mom and you're overwhelmed. That happens. Let's pause for a moment and ask God to speak to our hearts through His Word this morning. Lord, I thank You for each one here. I thank You for the many needs that are represented in this room this morning. Because, Lord, you love to have us come to You with our needs. And, Lord, we know from life experience that we don't always know really well what our needs, our true needs are, because sometimes they get confused with our wants, and sometimes, Lord, we don't see the big picture like You do. But we thank You that we worship an almighty God. One who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far and beyond anything we can even imagine. And Lord, help us to trust You in these things. Lord, so much that happens to us, we just don't understand. We don't understand why sometimes, and a lot of times we don't understand how to respond or what to do about it. But Lord, You know. And You know every single heart and every life in this room today. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know us without any fuzziness, without any unclarity, without any uncertainty. Lord, You know us absolutely. And Lord, we just pray that as You meet with us here today, that You would speak to our hearts from Your Word, and that You would meet the needs of our hearts this day and our lives so that we might live for You. We pray for those who are struggling today, and those who, many of our church family, who've gone through painful times, even in this last week. Lord, some of these things are so difficult, so hard. Think of Linda and Fred and James and little Grayson. Think of Agnes and Jerry and Conrad and Colleen and their son Kyle and all that's happened there, and those who, even this morning, Shirley Griffin, who's still in the hospital, and others who are dealing with health issues, and there's just so much, Lord, and yet that's life. It's ongoing. There are always these things happening that we don't always understand. But Lord, we accept by faith that You are going to work good things in the lives of these precious people. And so, Lord, we claim that, according to the promise of Your Word, that You would work all things together for good, for those who love You and for those who are called according to your purpose. And we just commit them to you today. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word today and that we would be encouraged to live our lives for you. Teach us by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject of appreciation. Now, it's Mother's Day, and I think it's great that we have this thing we call Mother's Day, but we do need to be careful arranging our lives around or our preaching calendar around special days, because it can become a little bit much, because if we make every day special, then no day is special, and if we keep going, we're going to run out of days. Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm all for Mother's Day, but I think we've already ran out of months, and I think we're quickly running out of days. Do you know that, according to one source I checked, January 12th is National Pharmacist Day? Did you know that? You love your pharmacist? Well, that's good. Remember, January 12th. Remember, keep that date in your mind, Josh. February 5th. Does everybody know what February 5th is? If I tell you, will you remember next February 5th? Not likely. It's National Weather Person's Day. It's true. Now, of course, everybody knows what February 14th is, right? February 14th is Valentine's Day, so you know that one, right? But do you know what February 15th is? I didn't have that on here, Vicki. February 15th is National Singles Awareness Day. March 1st is National Horse Protection Day, in the U.S. at least. And the first Saturday in December every year is National Rhubarb Vodka Day. So the special days are piling up here. And you wonder how many of these things are really official, right? But I went and checked the United Nations calendar. And on the United Nations calendar, their official calendar, it says that March 21st, for example, is International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. It's World Poetry Day. It's World Down Syndrome Day. It's International Day of Nowruz. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right because I didn't even know what it was. I had to look it up. Do you know what it is? Does anybody know what Nowruz is? I might be pronouncing it wrong, but it's the Iranian New Year is what it is. And so in thought of those who are celebrating Iranians around the world, the United Nations has designated it as an international day of observance. It's also, I'm talking about March 21st, it's also International Day of Forests. Is in trees, right? Trees are important, right? So we need to make people aware about that. And so, you know, you wonder where we stop. And then I was looking, and I kid you not, on the United Nations calendar, November 19th is World Toilet Day. After I thought about it, I thought, yeah, well, that's probably not, because if you lived in a country where you didn't have facilities, you know, it's probably a big deal. And if any of you have ever traveled in some of those contexts, but I'm thinking that moms maybe aren't feeling quite as special right now as they were a few moments ago. Now, the stated reason for this is to raise awareness, right? And that's laudable. Because there's seemingly no end to the things that we need to be more aware of and that we need to appreciate. But I think we can all agree that we probably need to share some show some restraint when it comes to some of these things. Because, you know, if you only have one day a year where you think about racial discrimination, for example, that's probably not a good thing. Or if you set one day aside and that's the only day you read poetry, or the only day that you think about Down syndrome, I just don't think it's going to get it done. If there's only one day a year when you appreciate your mother, I don't think that's enough. Darlene, you're giving me a signal here. May 14th? Is that today? Right? Yeah. I did not know that. I did not have that on my list. But I share all this with you to say that though it's Mother's Day, which is celebrated in more than 100 countries around the world today, or May 10th in Mexico. That's what Bernardo was telling me. March in England? But over 100 countries celebrate Mother's Day. But though today is Mother's Day, and though I'm speaking with you about the subject of appreciation, I'm not speaking only to mothers, and I'm not speaking only about mothers. Okay? I promise you that what I have to share with you today is applicable to every one of us every day. Okay? So having said that, why don't you take a look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 9 verses of that chapter. And I think Keegan has them ready to load up, but you may have a copy of in front of you as well. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace that God has given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom we are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now the word obviously, the word appreciation is obviously not in that text. But the words "I give thanks" are there. And though these two things are not identical, there is a close connection between gratitude and appreciation. And when I distinguish between the two, I'm not trying not to split hairs here, because there is a connection for sure, but the nuance of the two is also important. How many of you have ever gotten a thank you from someone when you knew they didn't really mean it? Has that ever happened to you? Of course it has, right? It's kind of like getting an apology from somebody that's not sincere. Like when you say to one of your children, "Now, say it again, and this time you better mean it." Because an insincere apology is worse than no apology at all. And sometimes we can just go through the motions. So the appreciation and gratitude are closely connected. But being appreciative and being thankful are not exactly the same thing. Appreciation must precede genuine gratitude, because you can't be truly thankful for something until you appreciate it. However, just because you appreciate something does not automatically make you thankful. There are certain pitfalls on the road between appreciation and thankfulness that we have to watch out for. Now, appreciation has to do with ascribing value to something. To appreciate something is to recognize or to affirm its value. And it can lead us into thanksgiving. Paul, in this passage, recognized something of immense value, and he gave thanks to God for it. And what does the text say that Paul was thankful for? He said, I thank God always for you. When you think of it, appreciation as a subject is kind of a little bit on the silly side because it begs the question, appreciate what? What is it that we appreciate? Paul identifies the people at Corinth as that which for which he is thankful, and he places incredible value on them, and he says, "I thank God for you." Now, if you've ever read the book of the letter of 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of things that Paul wants to say to these people. He has a list. And there's a lot of things that he's going to take issue with. Remember, he was the one who went to Corinth in the first place and won these early believers to faith in Christ and started this church in Corinth. He was a spiritual father to them. And as an apostle of Jesus and as a church planter, there's a lot of things he's going to take issue with. But before he does anything else, before he addresses one single solitary issue, he wants to set this right up at the front. He wants to say something. And what he wants to say to them is, I really appreciate you. I thank God for you. They were the object of his appreciation. And appreciation needs an object. What do you appreciate? What are you thankful for? What is it that you appreciate? It's not enough just to say, you know, that we're appreciative because, you know, true, some people don't seem to appreciate anything. But some people appreciate a good fight. So the question is the object of our appreciation. What is it that we appreciate? What is it that you really appreciate? Paul says he really appreciated these guys. And he said, and in case you missed it, he says, I always thank God for you. That little word is a really big word. He didn't just say, I thank God for you. He said, I always thank God for you. Really? Always? Even when they were dividing themselves up into different camps and quarreling with each other and competing with each other, and because they were doing that. Even when they were squabbling with each other and actually taking their rather fierce accusations about one another right out into the public forum for everybody to see and hear? Because they were doing that too. Hard to imagine that in the day of Facebook, but that's what they were doing. Immorality, sexual immorality, drunkenness, and we could go on. Because Paul is going to talk about all those things in his letter. But he starts his letter by saying, I always thank God for you. Always? Really, Paul? How do you do that? It's not easy. It's not. And nothing that I'm going to say this morning or that God says in His Word makes it easy, because it's not easy. There are a number of pitfalls that we can get into on the road between appreciation and gratitude. There are a number of them. And when we fall into these pitfalls, not only do they prevent us from being thankful, but they can even take away our sense of appreciation. We could talk about things like entitlement. That's a big one. I really like how you serve my needs, because that's the way it should be anyway, because after all, it's all about me. I really value that. I really appreciate how you do that. I appreciate it greatly. I hope it continues. Entitlement. Entitlement will really do a number on our ability to be able to really genuinely and sincerely appreciate and be thankful for others. Close cousin to that entitlement, maybe a whole lot subtler, is the illegitimate expectations. Now, sometimes we talk about unrealistic expectations. But I think sometimes even illegitimate expectations. Sometimes we expect a whole lot of people. I'm not talking about common decencies or general morality or anything like that. I mean, we expect people to be there for us sometimes far beyond what's even reasonable to expect. You know the story in Scripture of Jesus when his friend Lazarus was sick and he dies and Jesus finally comes back into town, and I can't remember which one of the girls, whether it was Mary or Martha ran out. It must have been Martha, was it? Ran out to meet Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died." That's a great thing to say to somebody. You know, that I've often thought that was in the context where it says there. That's where the shortest verse in the Bible is, right? It says that Jesus wept. Have you ever thought about why he wept? This might be part of the reason. I'm serious, because he knew he was going to raise Lazarus. So he wasn't weeping for that reason. I'm being a little presumptuous, but it is. It's our expectations sometimes of others. You know, we get even demanding. Well, you have to. Really? What do other people really owe us? What does the world owe us? What does anybody owe us? What does God owe us? Another pitfall is a hypercritical spirit. And that happens when we develop the ability to overlook a host of good things and only see people's deficiencies or inadequacies. It's kind of like a special gift that some of us have. The ability to be able to look past people's good points and focus in on all their deficiencies. But it's not really a gift, is it? It's more of a curse. Because the real gift is the ability to see past people's deficiencies and focus on the good things that God has done and is doing in their lives. That's the really good gift. So all of these things are like pitfalls that prevent us from appreciating and for being thankful for others. Paul says, "I always give thanks for you. I always give thanks for you." Paul, how do you do it? How do you do that, Paul? Wouldn't you like to ask him that? Well, you can, because he tells us here in the passage. He does. He says, if you look back there, he says, "I always thank God for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Paul was thankful. Paul could be thankful, and he could appreciate these people, even in spite of the mess, because he could recognize God's work on their behalf and in their lives. And that's really important. And we don't want to miss this. Paul's value system, because that's what appreciating is, right? It's valuing. Paul's value system was informed by his worldview. And his worldview was dominated by his faith in God and God's grace. It shaped everything for him. It colored his world. If you didn't know there was a color called grace, well, now you know. And that God would give us those eyes. That God would give us that kind of worldview. Because when he looked at these people, that's what he saw. And again, he's going to take them to task. He's not, don't confuse Paul's attitude here with just a dismissiveness. He wasn't turning a blind eye or putting on rose-colored glasses. He's going to take them to task about a lot of things. He's going to have some real difficult conversations with them about the way they were living and the things that were happening in their lives. But before he says anything about any of that, he says, I thank God for you. I appreciate you. I value you. And I think he meant it. I don't think these were just words for him. This just wasn't just some nice-sounding salutary greeting. He meant what he's writing here. And he saw these people in relation to God and God's work both in them and for them, because his worldview was shaped by his personal knowledge of God. His appreciation for these people flowed from his faith in God and then flowed back to God in the form of thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is part of our worship. He's worshiping God here. He's saying, I thank God for you. Paul is worshiping right here in this passage, right in before our eyes. He's worshiping God for them. It's not easy sometimes, is it? To keep ourselves from getting jaded. But the thing that really stands out here in this passage, at least to me, is how amazing this is in light of the incredible mess in these people's lives. You know, Paul doesn't hold back punches as he goes on. I mean, like, right after the passage, verse 9, we read up through verse 9, verse 10, he says, you know, this whole dividing up into camps thing, not good. You got to stop this. Then he goes on and he says, you know, he later on in the chapter, and I don't know if you've read these passages and thought, you know, you worry about these things personally for them, what they were thinking when they were reading these words. But we, later on in the chapter, he talks about, you know, you will notice not very many wise are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It's kind of his way of saying you're none too smart, you know, right? He's talking about them. He's not very many noble. You don't have a lot of class either, you know. He said, God, the things that are not. What's that mean? God has chosen the things that are not. He's basically, you know, you're just a bunch of nobodies. But that's what God does. He takes nobodies and he makes somebodies out of them, right? So you might think that's kind of a backhanded compliment. Maybe it is, but Paul, I believe Paul is totally sincere here, because think about where you'd be and what you'd be without God in your life. I want you to think about that for a moment. Where would you be and what would you be if it weren't for God in your life? I remember when we were studying the book of Acts back a couple years ago, before we did the first 11 chapters in the book of Acts, and I remember I had the privilege of preaching through some of the material where Barnabas makes his appearance on the pages of Scripture. And, well, if you haven't done a study in the life of Barnabas, do yourself a favor. Look up every reference you can find in the Scriptures in the New Testament to Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement, is what the name Barnabas means. What an incredible person he was, and what made him the son of encouragement, and what enabled him to be such an incredible encourager was this ability that he had to see God at work in people's lives. He could see Jesus in people, even when they couldn't see it themselves. Even when nobody else could see it, he could. He saw Jesus working in Paul's life. Nobody else wanted to go near him. Like, no, get that guy out of here. You know, we know what he's like. We know what he does. He wants to kill us all. But Barnabas saw Jesus at work in Paul's life. You want to pray for a gift of discernment? That would be a good one to pray for. The ability to see what God's doing in people's lives. See, that was what enabled Paul to appreciate and to give thanks. Was he could see his worldview was shaped by his faith in God and God's work and grace in people's lives, even when it was difficult to see. Now, this is not a really difficult message for me to preach this morning to you. It's not like some hard topic, you know. Like, I think, well, appreciation, oh man, I don't want to preach on that. That's a tough one, you know. Like, this is pretty easy going, right? It's like not like you're squirming in your seats or anything, you know. Sometimes we have to deal with hard issues, right? But sometimes we just need to really take a step back. And we need to think about how thankful we should be to know that God is good. And that God is at work. And that we need to be thankful. It's Mother's Day. I don't want to say bad things about your mom. But there's probably some things about your mom that you don't appreciate. I'm just saying, you know. But it doesn't stop you from appreciating her, does it? No. Of course not. And when you think about it, you know, God doesn't wait for us to get all of our stuff together before he loved us, did he? What does the scripture say? While we were yet the enemies of God, he loved us. God demonstrated his love for us in that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. You know, when we take this kind of position, this kind of hard-nosed, critical, somewhat self-righteous position, as we view others around us, we're not representing the Lord well, or our moms either. See, that's the thing about your mom. Your mom, what do you appreciate most about your mom? Before you answer, I'll tell you what it is. I know what it is. It's her unconditional love for you. Whether she's here or there, that's what it is. When you were a snotty-nosed kid, she loved you. When you were a stupid teenager, she loved you. When you were obnoxious 20-something, she loved you. And then you matured. And she continues to love you. And God is like that. He doesn't wait for us to clean ourselves all up so we can come to him and say, "Here I am, God, I'm acceptable to you now." Wow, that's not even close to the gospel, is it? Not even at all. So, all of this begs the question, how does this all apply in my life? And so I would want to say two things to you this morning as we kind of try to wrap this up a little bit here. The first off is this. God wants to do a work of grace in your life. God wants to work in your life. If you read through that passage, what God wants to do in your life is in there. He said, God wants to present you guiltless before the Father in heaven. He wants to make a saint out of you. And that all depends on what? His grace. That's what Paul starts the letter with. He says, grace and peace to you. And then when he says, I thank God for you, I thank God for you because of his grace and the work that he has done, the work of grace he's done in your life. So, question, do you want God to do a work in your life? If you answer that question yes, then you need to appreciate, speaking about appreciation here, you need to appreciate what Paul says here about God's grace. Because that's how God works in our lives, right? He works by his grace. It was in grace that he sent his son Jesus. It was in grace that he looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. It was in grace that he sent Jesus to die for us and to pay the price for our sins, to wash away our guilt. Here Paul is writing to these people, and you will not read anywhere else in this entire Bible about any group of people that had more problems and more issues than these Corinthians. It shocks me sometimes how that God allowed Paul to write the book of 1 Corinthians and gave it to us in our Bibles, because if you're not careful, you'd read through all this and go, holy cow, there's no way on earth these people were Christians. They were the worst sorry lot you ever imagined. You know, you can't even make this stuff up. Like, you know. And yet he did. He put it in there. And right at the very front of it, he says, I give thanks to you, to God for you, always, because of God's grace and his work in your life by his grace. If you want God to work in your life, if you want God to do a work in your life, then you need to accept his grace. You need to take that gift that he wants to give you, forgive you, make you guiltless, take you and make you as his own. Second thing is that how coming out of the, you know, applying this in our lives is how it should shape how we see people. And that includes how we see ourselves. You know, I think that a lot of times how we see other people, and whether we appreciate other people or not, appreciate those around us, especially when we're talking about the Church of Jesus, is affected a lot by how we see ourselves. It's been my observation, and this is certainly nothing that, you know, is any great insight on my part. I've heard other people mention this often, that people who are hypercritical of others, almost always, I've noticed, are really, really hard on themselves. And that a lot of the times the reason we tend to be critical of others is because of guilt. And, you know, in terms of how Paul saw other people, you know, later on he would write to Timothy, and he would say to Timothy, he would call himself the chief of sinners. He didn't call Timothy the chief of sinners. He said, I, the chief of sinners. Later on in this very letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15, at one point he says, I'm the least of all the apostles because I persecuted the church of God. See, Paul was very aware of his own failures. He saw himself for real with all of the mess in his own life. And that is a big part of, I think, of how he was able to really appreciate and give thanks for others and to see God work in the lives of others. Because Paul didn't just understand God's grace for others. He understood God's grace for himself. He needed the grace of God. He welcomed the grace of God in his own life. And that was a big part, I believe, of why and how he was able to extend that kind of grace to others. You know, we have blind spots. And it's my observation that a lot of times, here's my biggest blind spot. It's yours too. I don't see very well my own faults. I am not very good at recognizing my contribution to my interpersonal problems. I'm pretty good at seeing the other person's. I'm not very good at seeing my own. And by God's grace, if we could get better at seeing our own contribution, our own shortcomings, our own inadequacies, our own deficiencies, and that would allow us to receive the grace of God for those things, and that would in turn allow us to extend the grace of God to others more readily. What do you think? I think it's amazing that Paul wrote this letter where he's going to say all of these hard things, all these difficult things, and he chooses right up at front before he says anything about anything. He says, I really appreciate you guys. I thank God for you. I always thank God for you. Even though I know all this stuff about you. I do, because people have come and they have told me what's going on. And so I'm writing you this letter, and we need to talk here. Before I tell you anything else, I really appreciate you. I thank God for you. I always thank God for you. May God give us that kind of grace. May God give us the ability to see ourselves for what we really are, imperfect, far from perfect, at fault often, contributing to the problem always to some degree. And may He give us the grace to bring that out to the foot of the cross and be honest with God about it and allow Him to open up our eyes and see not only our inadequacies and our failures and our faults and our problems and our warts and all the rest of it, but to see His grace for that, to receive His grace for that, so that we can then we can start giving it to other people. And it doesn't mean we put rose-colored glasses on. It doesn't mean we become dismissive or we pretend that there are no issues or no problems in our lives or in other people's lives. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that we have God's grace for it, and we can deal with the issues then, because we have the grace of God. And I have to tell you, there is no other solution, no other remedy for sin and guilt than the forgiveness and grace of God. There is none. You will not find one, no matter where you look, because it's the only one. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Forgiveness through Christ is the only way. Nobody else paid for your sin. Nobody else paid the price for your sin. Nobody else can take away your guilt or mine. That's it. It's the only way. But praise God, He's there for us, and He wants to do this in our lives. So before we close in prayer, I'll ask the question again, and I want you to answer it. Do you want God to do a work in your life? And if you can say yes to that, then I want you to do something in your heart right now. I just want you to, and you can say it audibly if you want, but in your heart, just say yes to Him. Say yes. Pray in here, inside of you, in your spirit. Say, God, I want you to do a work in my life. I accept your grace. I want Jesus. I want Him to forgive me and fill me and use me. Why don't you stand with me? Many of you are here today, and you've done that. You've done that. And I thank God for you. I can't say I always thank God for you. I'm working on that. But I'm no Apostle Paul either. Because sometimes I fall in some of those pitfalls that we talked about. And that's when I need to look to the Lord. That's when you need to look to the Lord. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to look to Him. Allow Him to shape your worldview so that when you see others When you see others, you see them. You see them in the context of God's work and grace in their lives. Okay, I've said enough. I might have even said too much. But let's pray. Let's pray. I'll stop talking to you, and we'll start talking to Him. And you do business with God, and I'll do business with God, and we'll walk out of here better off for it. Okay, let's pray together. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ your Savior, if you say yes to Him, if you would say yes to Jesus, Lord, I pray You be speaking to hearts even now. Lord, Your grace is matchless. Your grace is amazing. Your grace is so wonderful that You love us long before we even knew You even existed. Lord, when we were just a thought in Your mind, You loved us. When we came into this world, You loved us. All of our sin and all of our failure, Lord, You love us right the way that we are, with that great unconditional love. And You valued us enough that You sent Your Son to die for us. Lord, we thank You for Your grace this morning. I pray, Lord, for those who are here who just, they need to step into that. They need to receive from You the grace that You have for them and for others in their lives. Lord, we appreciate our moms. Lord, we appreciate them so much. Help us, Lord, to appreciate and be thankful for others, and especially those, Lord, who we can look and see beyond their faults and see what you're doing in their lives. Lord, help us to really genuinely appreciate one another, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.